These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
This evening there's quite a varied diet. I'd like to get through as much as possible. There are some in Yonim which are Mamish Om Dimberumo Shalolo. Let me begin at the beginning of the Parsha, Posat Yud Ches. Vayasev Elokim es ha'om derech hamidbor yamsu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the people make a detour by way of the yamsu. Vachamushim olu v'nei Yisrael ne'eretz Mitzrayim. Now what I want to direct your attention to on the words Vachamushim olu v'nei Yisrael ne'eretz Mitzrayim is the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel says, on the words Vachamushim olu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'cholchad, that every Jew who left im chamsho taflin, with five children. So he takes the word Vachamushim to be related to the word chomesh, five. If you look back into last week's Siddur, I'll read it out for you. In Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, when it speaks about the 600,000 who left Egypt, Levad Mitov, besides the children, says the Targum Yonason ben Uziel on the words Levad Mitov, bar with the exception, Mitafla of the children, Chamsha, Chamsha, Lechol Gavra. Five children to each adult. Well, I don't need to tell you that a very perplexing comment that everyone left with five. If they left with six, I would of course remember Shisha Bekeres Echod, the children were born six at a time. But the Chamsha, Chamsha is very strange. Let us compound our problem. Let us have a look at the Targum Yerushalmi on Vachamushim Alu Bnei Yisrael Meyeretz Mitzrayim. They translate the word chamushim as armed, but they don't say that they were armed with weapons, but rather, if you see there, it says, mezainin biyovoda tova, armed with good deeds. Now this is also, it sounds nice, but it's very problematical, because if you look into Rashi on last week's Parsha, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, and you see there on the words V'hoi Olachem Lemishmeres, you will see there in the name of Rav Matthew ben Chorosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to redeem Bnei Yisrael, and he saw that they had no mitzvahs to their credit. And they invoked the Pasuk, know to you from the Haggadah, the At Eirom, the Eriyo. You were naked. You didn't have any redeeming qualities whatsoever. So much so, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give them two mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. So last night, they are Eirom V'Yerio, they are naked without mitzvahs, and here they are going out from Mitzrayim, Mizaynin V'Yovoda Tava, armed with good deeds. Apart from which, the Yovoda Tava, which is the Aramaic for Maisim Tovim, I would imagine is more related to Benodom Lachaveiro than Benodom Lamoko. How are we going to answer this question? Or these questions, more correctly. There is a very beautiful sefer, now called Be'er Yosef, from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, one of the Vatike Yerushalayim, I mean the man who lived well into his 90s, if not beyond, and died only some years ago. And the sefer was printed on the encouragement of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he answers these questions by directing our attention to the comment at the very end of Rashi, Jibuli Amaschil Vachamushim. The shaila is, what does the word chamushim mean? Says Rashi at the end of his comment, Dovar Acher, chamushim should be translated as Mechumoshim, a fifth. Echod michamisha yotsu, one out of five left. The arvo chalokim and four-fifths mesu died bishaloshes yemei afela in the 3 days of darkness. says Rabbi Yosef Salanter so beautifully, if four-fifths died, one-fifth is left alive, the four-fifths who died are obviously adults who are deserving of punishment. So if the adults died, they left behind four sets of children. So each couple that left Mitzrayim left with their own children and took with them four sets of children of parents who had died in the Shaloshes Shemei Afela. That is why they are going out Chamsho Chamsho. Each one is going out with five children, not with five children, with five sets of children, their own and four others. And that is why, says Rabbi Yosef Salanter, today and not before, they are mezayinin b'avodas tova. They are armed with good deeds. Because yesterday nobody had left, and they hadn't taken anybody with. Now they are going out, and they are taking, as well as their own children, four other sets of children. That's mezayinin b'avodas tova. And says Rabbi Yosef Salanter, if you want to know the truth, that is the correct peshat in Zocharti loch chesed niurayich ahavas kelul osoyich lechteich acharai b'midbar. The fact that we follow that Kodesh Baruch Hu in the midbar is not chesed. There is no stretch of the imagination could we refer to the fact that we follow that Kodesh Baruch Hu, refer to that as chesed. Says Rabbi Yosef Salanter, the chesed is the fact that not only did we take our own children, but we didn't leave anybody else's children behind. And that's the chesed niurayich. It's the chadobor nitla. Okay. So we have a bit of an insight into the Targum. What I want to draw your attention to now is something which is not totally al pi pshuto shel mikra, but I'd like to bring it because it is a sentiment which I think we have to be aware of. Let us now go on in Perek Yudalad, and let's have a look at Psukim, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. So many beautiful inyonim to look at this evening. So the Bnei Yisrael look behind, and they see that Egypt is following them. And they begin to cry. Vayomru el Moshe, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Is it because there is a shortage of graves in Egypt? You've taken us to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us? To take us out. Did we not say to you in Mitzrayim, leave us alone. We want to serve Egypt. It's better we should serve Egypt than we should die in the wilderness. You look at these words and you say to yourself, here are Bnei Yisrael, and they are saying, you know, we had a choice. We had a choice either to live quietly in Mitzrayim and go about our business, or die in the wilderness. Let's go on. Let's take Psukim in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Also in our Sidra. Perek Tes Zayin, Beis and Gimel. Vayomru alehem b'nei Yisroel. They cry and they complain again. Mi yitein Musenu b'yad Hashem b'yeretz Mitzrayim. B'shivteinu al shir abosar b'yachlinu lechem losova. We remember those golden days. As they say in Ivrit, nostalgia, right? What a wonderful time we had. B'shivteinu al shir abosar b'yachlinu lechem losova. Not even parim with a hechsher. B'yachlenu lechem losova. We ate our bread enough, goodness me. So what did we need? So we look at these psukim, and the Bnei Yisrael are saying to themselves, you know what? We could have seen, we could have sat in Mitzrayim and had a wonderful time. And now you've taken us out and you've put our lives in jeopardy. Im ben hu v'hamiteno so, im bas hi v'choya. Kol haben hayilod hayorot hashlichu. What's going on with these people? They don't remember that when they were in Mitzrayim, that male children were killed at birth, that Paro made an announcement, every male child is to be thrown into the river, you can keep the daughters. So what are these people talking about? I'm no longer. What are these people talking about? Initially, we would have suggested that here we have the beginnings of a most unusual Jewish phenomenon. Not only are the Jews maintaining that it can't happen here, what they are saying is it can't happen here again. If we'll go back to Mitzrayim, of course we had a problem then. But times change. Be a new ruler. The recession will be over. So, it'll be a different regime. What happened in the past, what's past is past. That's what I would have suggested. That here we have the phenomenon that the Jew does not want to believe. Not that it can't happen here, that we've believed long ago. But they believe here it can't happen again. I came across a most wonderful interpretation of this situation in the writings of Ben Sion Firer. I quote him from time to time. And he says as follows. To his mind, what the Bnei Yisrael are saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is the following. When we go back, this killing of the firstborn, this killing of every male Jewish child, it will be a thing of the past, and we know why it will be a thing of the past. Because if you look at Rashi, on Imben Huva Hamitenoso, why did Pharaoh want to kill the children, the male children? The answer is, because his astrologers told him that there was a savior going to be born to the Jews who was going to lead them to the promised land. Why did Pharaoh say, Kol haben hayilod hayorot hashlichu? Why did he say on that day every male child got to be killed? Because his astrologers told him, today the Goel has been born. Today has been born a man amongst the Jews who is going to take them out to their promised land. You know what got us into trouble? You know why we lost our children? Because we had all these fanciful ideas about Egypt is not our home. The diaspora is not our destination. It's only a station. Once we get rid of that rubbish, we'll never have any problems again. Our problems arise in Golos. Because we start talking about Geula. We start telling the Goyim we're living here for the moment, but the Mashiach will come and we're going back to our land. And that's why the Goyim hate us, you see. There's only one reason why they don't like us. And that's because they think we've got sort of dual loyalties, and chatsiyahin and chatsiyaher. But once we get rid of this Goel business, then there'll be no decrees of Kol haben hayilod hayorot hashlichu. Once we say to the Goyim, we've come to settle amongst you, and we're as British as you are, and we're as American as you are, and we're as German as you are, and we are as Austrian as you are, as soon as we say that, and we kick out the Mipalech Hatawainu out of the calendar, and out of the Siddur, and Shiavona Beis Amidosh we throw out, then all will be well. Because they think that they can pinpoint the root of anti-Semitism, and once they remove that reason, then everything else will vanish. That is why they say, if we go back to Mitzrayim tomorrow or today, we won't have any problems with Kol haben hayilod or in Ben Huva Hamitenoso. And unfortunately, 3,500 years of Jewish history has confirmed that they are totally wrong, as Moshe Rabbeinu knew they were. But let me just add a most interesting P.S. We have, during the course of Sefer Shemos, a dialogue which becomes more of a confrontation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go back and tell my people that you are going to take them out of Mitzrayim and all will be well. Moshe says, I'm not going. And according to Chazal, it's a debate that's going on for 7 days. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu refusing to go back as an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the most momentous development in the history of our people, Zeichel Letziat Mitzrayim? Says Ben Sion Führer, Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to go back to Bnei Yisrael as a goel. Because if he comes back as a goel, Jewish mothers will point to him and will say, because of you, my sons were killed. Because of you, my children were thrown into the River Nile. You have Jewish blood on your hands. That's why he didn't want to go back. Something very well worth considering. Because the whole reason, says Rashi, why the sons were killed is because of Moshe on Shel Yisrael. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go back as Moshe on Shel Yisrael. Then they're going to point a finger at me and say, you see, you're the cause of the massacre of thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jewish children. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's something I can't face. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me Geula is at hand, but to go back as the Goel and to have people point a finger at me and say you're a murderer, that I can't have. Shalach no biyad tishlach. Send Aaron instead, because Aaron was born long before the Gezerah. Shalach no biyad tishlach. Send him. He's a person that they won't be able to point the finger to. Me they'll point the finger to, and I can't take it. Something very special to think about. Okay. Now, as they say in the classics, Lama Besser Reden from Feilach HaZachem, let's move on now towards Yoshia. The word which has captured the imagination of the Mephoroshim is the word Oz. Then Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael sang as Ashiro Azov. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is conveyed by the word Oz? And there are a number of comments that I've gathered together which you can look at. And the first is the Hamek Dover from the Netziv. Says the Netziv, the word Oz is explained as follows. Kasher higiyu ligmar hatzala. When they had arrived at the completion of their deliverance, Oz hodu l'Hashem. It was only then that they gave thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo b'techilas bo'om el hayom. Not even at the moment when they themselves stepped into the, what was once the Red Sea, but its waters had parted. No. Not even at that stage. K'moshe kosafti li'el, as I have written elsewhere, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel in Shmos, uve'kama mekomos, and in other places, She'ein mevarichim al hatzala ad sof. The only time that it is appropriate to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when the hatzala is completed. The kachu b'Yerushalmi psochim pelik yud halachavav. And this is confirmed by a comment in Arvei Psochim in the Yerushalmi. On the words b'froa piroos, says the Yerushalmi, Kisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu ose lochem nisim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles for Israel, Jehu omrim shira, you should acknowledge it by singing a song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Yerushalmi, Hotilun, but I have a kasha. Harei geulas Mitzrayim, what about our redemption from Egypt? And when we stepped out after Makkas Bechoros, we didn't sing a song? As the Netziv points out, V'lo amru shiro ad kriyas yamsu, answers the Yerushalmi, Shanyehi. That's a different situation altogether. Shehi techilas kiyula. That was only the beginning of the process of redemption. Perush v'ein omrim shiro ad gemar, meaning you're not allowed to sing shiro until it's all over, says the Netziv, V'hainu dechesiv oz. When it's all over, and Egypt has been vanquished, and Israel has been saved, Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu, Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim, when that moment has arrived, that is the moment to sing Shira, and not before. As the Chaim Brisker points out, that is the interpretation of the Pasuk, V'ani B'chatzecha Potachti, I always have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will favor me with his salvation. Yogei libi b'shuasecha, that my heart will rejoice when Hashem saves me. Avor ashir al Hashem, when will I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ki gomal aloi, when it's all over. Ki gomal aloi, when it's already in the past. So therefore, as far as the Netziv is concerned, the moment to sing is the Gemar Hatzolah, when the Hatzolah has been completed and not before. Even though one has perfect faith, says the Reb Chaim, that the Geula is at hand, it is not appropriate to sing even with faith until the Geula has actually occurred. What is fascinating is we have a completely different picture in the writings of the Shaloh HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris. Here's something very, very interesting. He also has a shaila as to why the Shira was only sung at this particular moment in time. So he says like this, and notice how he goes, min ha-kotze la-kotze from Reb Chaim. Ha-inyan hu. The situation and the explanation is as follows. Midas tzadikim hu. It is a quality of the righteous. Miyad shehuftichu ledovar tov. As soon as they have been promised that something good will arrive, lo mashir v'shevach l'Hashem yisporach miyad. That's the quality of a tzaddik. That even though it hasn't happened, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that it will, immediately they start singing. Af sha'adayin lo niskayein. Even if it has as yet not been fulfilled. Kizer hu, because the reason why they would do so, why they would sing before anything has happened, mitzad hu emuna, because of their faith. Shema aminim bidvarov baruch hu uvaruch shemo. What gives them the ability to sing before any event has transpired is the faith that they have that it is going to occur. Hotman Ashaile. What about the banks of the Red Sea? Uma Shemoshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Icher Milo Mashira. Ah, you say to me, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu delayed to sing Shira Ad Shenasu Hamasim until the events had actually occurred? You know why? Hu b'shvil she'adayin lo hoyaso emuno chazoko b'Yisrael. Because all I have said to you so far, says the Shaloh, is that the ability to sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you have been told that Yeshua is at hand, the ability to sing is dependent on your faith. It is your faith that it will in fact happen which gives you the ability to sing. But if you don't have faith, is no matter who tells you, of course you can't sing. And the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not sing together with the Bnei Yisrael was because Bnei Yisrael, even though they had been told, they lacked the faith. But then they reached the stage a few moments after crossing the Red Sea, when it says, Vayaminu Vashem uvamoshe Abdo, that now they are on the Madrega of Emuno Shelema, is Oz Yashir Moshe Uvanayim. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is able to sing together with the Bnei Yisrael because the Emuno is there. Koloma, that is to say, Oz, be Oso Pam. At that moment, Shor Moshe did Moses sing, the Lomi Kodim, and not earlier, Miyad Shehuftach Mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as soon as he had been promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyibaka Hayom, that the waters would divide, the reason why they only sang now is Mishum She'oz He'eminu Yisrael, because only at that moment did Israel believe. Kach Motzos Yitzirutzeh, B'Sefer Birchas Avram B'Haktoma. Now, of course, when I came across the Shaloh, the Shaloh knows what he's talking about. He's telling you that tzaddikim sing because they have emunah, that it is going to come to pass. And with that emunah, they have the ability to sing. And they can do so even before the event happens. So I said to myself, I can't ask the Shaloh, shlug him up from Reb Chaim, but I can do my best to shlug him up from a pasuk. Oshir al Hashem, chigom al Olad. I mean, Reb Chaim seems to have a point. I have faith, but the faith doesn't give me the ability to sing. It's Oshir al Hashem, only chigom al Olad when it's happened. And here the Shalom says no. You have the ability to sing if you have faith. And nevertheless, only Kigom Aloloi. Therefore, we have to make the following distinction. We have to distinguish between a person who has implicit faith of his own accord that something will happen, because he's a man who has, or a woman who has bitachon, and that the bitachon is a personal matter. I have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save me. On the basis of that bitachon alone, you cannot sing. Oshir al Hashem, chigom al Olay. You can only sing when it's happened. At the banks of the Yam Suf, we are not talking about people having bitachon on their own behalf. They were told by Nevi Hashem, Yitzavu ureu es Yeshua Hashem, asher yaseh lochem ayom. Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you see those Egyptians? Now you see them, now you don't. Lo sosifu lirosom od ad olam. So what the Shalom is saying is, ein achinami on the basis of a personal bitachon in the chastei Hashem, ani b'chastei govotachti, that doesn't give you the right to sing yet. Only kigom al Olay. But when the Navi, speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells you that Yeshua is at hand, and mipi Hashem lo teitzei, etc., etc., so therefore, had they had the requisite emunah, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu told them, they should already have sung. But what happened was, they didn't have the emunah, not in Hashem, and seemingly not in Moshe Rabbeinu as his Navi. That is why it is appropriate to say at the end of the passage, directly before the Shira, not only but that Vayaminu Bashem, but also Uva Moshe Avda. So that would in some way reconcile what appears to be a difference between the Shalom and the Chaim. Okay, let's move on. Concerning this particular idea, that when you are told, let's interpret it that way, that when you are told by a Navi that Yeshua is at hand, you should sing immediately. The Alzer Ramzu Razal Bepedik Chelek. And it is in regard to this particular matter that the tzaddik with real emunah, having been told by a Navi that Yeshua is at hand, he should start singing immediately if he has proper emunah. And it is concerning this feature that the rabbis have alluded to in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asos Sancherev Gog u'Magog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind to make the confrontation between King Hezekiah and Sancherev, the confrontation between Gog and Magog, which was going to bring in the era of Moshiach. That was his intention. And v'chizkiyah Moshiach, and he had intended to make Chizkiyah into the Moshiach. So what happened? Why didn't it happen? Omer Midas Hadin. So the Midas Hadin came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and complained. Uma David Melech Yisrael. How is it that David Melech Yisrael, Sha'omar Kamoshiro Tushvishmachos Liponecha, who sang many songs and praises before you, below Asiso Mashiach, and you didn't make him Mashiach? Chizkiyah, Shalayom Aliponecha. How much more so? Chizki, who didn't sing Shiros V'Sishpachos Liponecha, should you make a Mashiach? Says the Shalom HaKadosh, when you look at that Gemara, it appears to you as if the difference between David HaMelech and Chizki HaMelech is that David HaMelech sang Shiros to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chizki did not. Says the Shalom, the Kosher, we cannot accept the simple interpretation of the Gemara which I have just mentioned to you. For hamichtav li lechizkiyahu kisiv. Chazal say quite openly, and it's quoted by the Radak in Melachim Beis in Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Hey, that Hizkiah sang praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he was saved from Sanherib. So it is wrong, it is erroneous to suggest that the difference between David HaMelech and Hizkiah HaMelech is that David HaMelech sang Shiros to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the victory, and Hizkiah HaMelech did not, because Hizkiah did. Says the Shalom, you know what we're talking about here? We're not talking about singing Shira. We're talking about people who have the sufficient emunah to sing a Shira before the event happens. Because Chizki was told by the Navi, forget about Sanherib, he's going to be wiped out. So he should have started singing Shira straight away. That's what the Gemara is saying. David HaMelech, when you informed him that all was going to be well, he started singing Shira to you straight away, because he had the requisite emunah. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he didn't have the requisite emunah, and he only started singing after the downfall of Sennacherib. So the taina on Chizkiyahu HaMelech is not Shelo Omar Shiros V'Tishpochos. It's Shelo Omar Shiros V'Tishpochos Lefonecha, not in your presence, but rather Lefonecha, before you did what you had promised you were going to do. That's what the word Lefonecha means in the Gemara. Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't sing it Lefonecha, says the Yushalah, Elo Lefonecha Daike. The word which is crucial to that, wow, Shehivtachto also. Chizkiyahu did not sing to you straight away concerning what you had promised him. Ki hoyolo tekev lehislabesh b'yemunah. Because had he been a man of complete faith, he should have immediately clothed himself in that faith. Velo mashira lefonecha kodem she'osa hadavar. Before you did anything, he should have sang. So the middle of the Bali Emunah is that as soon as they have been told by the Navi that this so-and-so will occur, they should be able to sing Shira straight away. And that was an afterminah between David HaMelech and Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Now he adds a very beautiful postscript. Uvozeh mevur ha-medrash. Now he says, I will add a new dimension to a well-known medrash. The medrash writes, Shasidim Yisrael lo ma'ashira li'yosid lovo, which has always been translated as the tzaddikim in the future, they will sing Shira le'osid lovo, at a future time. In other words, le'osid lovo describes a period in history which is still at some distance from us. He says, no, something completely different. He says like this, Yomru Shira, what it medrash means is, they will sing Shira, Alma She'osid Lovo, over developments which have as yet not occurred. That Le'osid Lovo doesn't mean that they will sing Shira at a future date, but they will sing Shira over the future. Because they will be blessed with the Emunah that gives them the ability to sing once they have been told what is to occur, even before it has happened. So he says, Dahainu al Hanisim, Sheyovo, Sheyisbasru Aleim, Yagdimu Lishore Miyad, Vihihiyu Bechozek Emunosom, Keilu Nas. That's what's going to happen then. They are going to be on such a madrego of Emunah that they will be able to sing as soon as they have been told what is going to happen, even before it has happened. And that is what the pasuk means when it says, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadosh. There will be a new song, and it will be a song which will occur even before Ki Niflo Os Osta, before the wonders have been enacted. And even though they will not have as yet occurred, it will be as if they have occurred. It's just absolute, it's a beauty. Shalom says the reason why they didn't sing was because they didn't have the emunah to sing, and a person with emunah is the person who has the ability to sing once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has announced through a Navi that it is going to take place. That's the second Oz. Let's have a look at the third Oz. And the third is taken from the Gaon on Mishlei. Betuv tzadikim talot kiryo. When the tzadikim are, as it were, besimcha, when it is good with them, then the city rejoices. Uva'avod reshoim rina. And when the wicked are destroyed, there is singing.
Okay.
So we see what he's after immediately. Ki kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu matziles amo Yisrael mitzoreihem hu omdim aleihem. Notice the pattern. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Israel from their enemies, who stand against them, mitechila, the first thing he does is, goelo somu meitivlohem. The first thing he does is, he redeems them, and he does good to them, to Bnei Yisrael. V'yachakach, and after that, no kein esnik mosome hatzorim, he exacts vengeance from their enemies. Kamo b'mitzrayim, as it happened in Egypt. Semitechila goalo som. First he redeemed Israel. V'yachakach, ived hamitzriyim v'yam suf, he destroyed Egypt and the Red Sea. V'chein bahaman, techila hativ lemordechai, first Mordechai is elevated, v'yachakach, he pilis Haman v'soluoso, and after that Haman is hanged. Why do we wait to destroy the wicked until we have elevated the tzaddikim? He says, poshet, b'chidei sheyehehu b'yatzmo ro'eh gedulas Yisroel, so that the Rosho himself should see the elevation of Israel, v'shehashem hu ho elokim v'chol ha'orat. The Rosho, part of his punishment is to see that Bnei Yisrael have not been vanquished and the final solution was a myth. That's the first thing he has to see before he dies. That's why it says, there's a machlokus in the Meforshim, lo nishar bohem ad echad, right, in Mitzrayim. The machlokus, whether one was left or one was not left. The machlokus, which is toluy on ad v'yad bichlal, ad v'lo ad bichlal, whether the word ad means up to and including or up to and excluding. Some say Paro was left. So why wasn't he punished? So the Taina, that was his greatest punishment. That he had to see, he remembered those two bearded figures who used to come into his palace and Pharaoh could barely control his laughter. Another two rabbis coming to call, right? And actually this time they're for the same cause. Two people coming to call. And laughter, or whatever it is, and now he lives and he sees they're going out and after picking up all the jewelry and the gold and the silver, that's part of his nekama. However, b'chasher hu meitiv latzadikim, and when he does good to the tzadikim, oz kol ho'ir semecha, then the whole city rejoices. Avol adayin ein meranim mishavichim, but that's still not an occasion for singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach achakach, but afterwards, kach sher no came home to Malayim, when vengeance is taken from the enemy, oz hei meraninim mishavichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The zehu, that's what the pasuk means. Betov tzadikim, when all is well with the righteous, they are delivered. Talot kiryo, like v'hoir shushan solov samecho, the city rejoices. Or but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no kemiyo yaveyim, then there is rina, kemo bayam sufa v'purim. So you want to know why oz your shira, not before? Because shira was never sung for the deliverance of Israel. Shira was sung with the downfall of our enemies. The avod rishoyim vina. Batan lohem miriam. Okay, let's move on to the little further. Pasuk Chof Aleph. Fascinating material. Batan lohem miriam. Say we have in the Bali Atosos our final recorded offering for the evening. Batan lohem miriam. Says the Rivor, one of the great Bali Atosos, Sho'al ha-sho'el, the questioner asked me the following. Baharei im hanoshim hoyesom edaberes. She's speaking with the women. At least we hope she's speaking with the women. Bahoya lolomar, and therefore the pasuk should have said, Bata'an lohen, with the final nun, ki lohem is lashon zochor, because lohem is a masculine form, lohen is a feminine form. And also milas shiru. When it says shiru lashem, that's lashon zocher, that's a masculine term. She should have said hisharna. So to put it mildly, what is going on? V'hateshuvo bozeh? And the answer is as follows. Ki b'sha'o sha'oma Moshe v'Yisrael ha'shiro. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael started to sing the shiro, rotsu hanoshim loshir, the women wanted to join in. That was before there were other problems. Osoaku hamalochim, immediately the angels started to interfere. The Amru Lehen and said to them, Lo Soshiru, we don't want you to sing. Dai lanu shekidmanu Moshe v'Yisroel, yikadmanu od hanoshim. It's bad enough the men have sung before us, not the women should sing before us. Is Oz Omro Lehem Miriam? So Miriam said Lohem, masculine to the angels, Shiro atem b'techila, it's great I can leaven, you sing. Achakach noshir anachnu, then we'll sing. Ballet I tasted it. Very interesting ballet, I think. I mean, the first question which arises, as you can appreciate, is, if the Malachim are so anxious to sing, so why did they wait for the men? Sing before the men also! Well, what was the problem? But seemingly they said, Dai Lonu, is it not enough that the men sang before us? But so why didn't they sing before the men if they were so particular? If we consult the Midrashic literature, we will discover in the Midrash in Shmos Rabbo the following. V'kivon sheyotzu Yisrael min hayom, as soon as Israel emerged from the Red Sea, bo'u ha-malochim lahaktim shiro lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The malochim take a step forward to sing. Omer lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, yekadmu b'nai techila. I want Bnei Yisrael to sing first. You can't sing first. Bnei Yisrael got to sing first. If you look at the Yalkut, on the words of Yashir, you'll see, Bishah Shahoyu Yisrael Chonim Alayom, when Israel was camped on the Red Sea, Bahu Malachi Asholish Lekalech LaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Malachim wanted to praise HaKodesh Baruch Hu, below Hini Chom, and he wouldn't let them sing. Kivin Shahalu Min Ayom, but as soon as the Bnei Yisrael had come up from the sea, Bikshu Yisrael Malachi Asholish LeMashira, then Bnei Yisrael and the Malachim wanted to sing, Omer HaKodesh Baruch Hu LeMalachi Asholish, so HaKodesh Baruch Hu said to the angels, Hanichu Yisrael Techila. Let Israel sing first. So we have to find out why it is important that Israel should sing first. I mean, the Balabatish would tell it would be there, the ones who were saved. So in order to compound the problem, let's have a look at the Ramban. The Ramban is just where we are now, and that is on Pasuk Yutes, at the very end of the comment of the Ramban to that Pasuk. Yes. Ki oz lokachom Miriam hanavio esatov biyado the onesol lohem haposuk horishon shelashiro shetaneno kach acharei Moshe v'Yisrael. The Ramban also had the kasha. What's vatan lohem Miriam? So he explains that Miriam did not start singing until the men sang, and then vatan lohem. She responded to their singing. So the cue was the men, and the women responded. That's also interesting. What's this all about? The cue is by the men, and then the women respond with their singing. The answer to these questions can be offered by referring to a very unusual comment by Rav Chaim Brisker. And I'm sure it is new to you. It's something very, very beautiful. During the Kedusha, a phrase which is well known to you is Le'umosom Baruch Yomeru. Opposite them, facing them, they recite Baruch. Baruch Vod Hashem Yimakom. Facing whom? Whom are the angels facing? One pshat, which is brought in the Nefesh HaChayim, is that they are actually facing each other. The angels are facing each other. Another pshat is that the Malachim are facing us. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, why do the Malachim need to face us? And he answers in the following way. We have a cloud. There are certain items which can be recited even if you daven be yechidus. And there are certain items which cannot be said unless you're davening with a minyan. Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha. Fragt sich der Scheile, how can Malachim say Kedusha? They don't constitute a minyan. Ein Dover Shebe Kedusha, Pachas Miyasolim Yisrael. Says the B'chaim, how did the Malachim sing? How did they say Kedusha? Kodosh Kedusha, how did they say it? So Halachik Shaila. Says Reb Chaim, the answer is in the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says in Chulin Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, the Ein Malachi Ashoreis Omrim Shira Lamalo, Ashi Yomru Yisrael Lamata. They wait for us to say Kedusha. We have the minyan. And when we have started reciting, then they can join in relying on our minyan. We're the minyan. They are the people who come to be Yotzi through our minyan. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, Le'umasam Baruch Yomeiru. Meaning that the Malachim have to wait for us. And when we are reciting Kedusha, they face us. Le'umasam. And then Baruch Yomeiru. And I'll tell you something better, and this is not a commercial for Nusach Svard, but if you look there, you'll notice how Reb Chaim is so oiskecheshpent. Kesa yitnu lecho asher lokeinu, malochim hamonei ma'ala, imam lecho Yisrael kevutzei ma'ata, yachad, kulam kedusha lecho yishaleish. It's got to be yachad. And I'll tell you something better. The malochim are called hamonei ma'ala, a multitude. And we are called kevutzei ma'ata. Because we constitute the tzibur, we're a kibbutz. They're hamone, they are a multitude. So therefore we understand why they're called hamone ma'ala, and why we're called kibbutze ma'ata, and why, according to Reb Chaim, it's the chazei oiske gehalten, yachad, kulam kedusha l'cho yishanish. And Vibald Reb Chaim brought in the proof. How do Malachim say Kedusha? And he answered with the Gemara in Chulin, which refers to Shira. So the Chiddush is, according to Reb Chaim, that Shira, when it is sung as a result of something which has happened, is also a Dover Shebe Kedusha, and therefore can only be recited in a minyan. And therefore the Malachim could not complain in the Riva that B'nai Moshe and B'nai Yisrael were singing the Shira first. Because they had to go first. Because Liyumotham, unless B'nai Yisrael had started to sing first, the Malachim could not have sung, because there's no minyan which is needed. So therefore, all their complaint was, if we've already had to wait for the men, and that we can't complain about because that's a halacha, but there's no reason why we have to wait for the women. Because they don't contribute anything to the halacha which prevented us from reciting it before the men. So therefore, they came and complained to Miriam, is Vatan Lahem Miriam. And that is why the Ramban says, Vatan lohem, Miriam only started to sing when the men had started. Because the women also, you should excuse me, don't constitute a minyan. And therefore they have to wait until Moshe and Yisrael start to sing, and then Vatan lohem Miriam, and the same way, Ein amalochim omrim shiro lamalo, achiyomri Yisrael lamato, so Vatan lohem Miriam, Miriam was only able to sing with the women, when the men had already assembled to sing. It is something very, very interesting. Okay. Let me then conclude. There are many, many other items that I wanted to mention, but we've out chazon lamoed. Let me just conclude with what I consider to be something very, very beautiful in the writings of the Divrei Shaul, of Yosef Shaul Nathanson Zatzal. There is a famous statement of Chazal on the word Ze Keli V'yan Beyu. So the Chazal say, Ro'as O'Shivcho Al Hayom. Now Rashi's text is, Ro'as O'Shivcho Al Hayom, Mashalo Ro'u Shaul Hanavim. The Shivcho was able to see by the banks of the Red Sea what other Nevi'im never saw, but if you look in the Medrash, it's a little more different. It says, Ro'as O'Shivcho Al Hayom, the handmaiden saw on the Red Sea, Mashalo Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi Ben Avurosov, what the prophet Ezekiel had never seen. So the question, of course, that is asked is, Why is it that Chazal would have compared the Shivcha to Yechezkel? Well, again, the Balabatish Eteret would be, because Yechezkel was the only one of our Nevi'im who prophesied in Chutz La'aretz. And this is Chutz La'aretz. In fact, the Gemara in Chagiga compares Yishai and Yechezkel and says that Yechezkel is a ben kfar and Yishai is a ben krach. We compare Isaiah to a city dweller and Ezekiel to a villager. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it, and it's in the Tshuvas of the Rambam as well, that the comparison means to say that Isaiah is known as a city dweller because he prophesied in Eretz Yisrael, which is a metropolis as far as we're concerned. Whereas Chutz La'aretz, Legabi Eretz Yisrael, is like a village, Legabi a city. That's the usual way in which that Maimar Chazal is presented. Says Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanson, no. I would like to suggest something different. The reason why there is a comparison between the Shivcha and Yechezkel is as follows. There is a Gemara in Chagiga. And the Gemara says that Ezekiel can be compared to a villager. And Isaiah can be compared to a city dweller. And what do Chazal mean there, he asks. And he answers as follows. Let us give a modern illustration. Person from the city has an appointment in Kensington. He gets into his car, gets into a bus, he's driving, or he's walking, he walks directly. A villager has an appointment in Kensington, he comes into King's Cross. The buildings? Goodness me, where I come from! I never saw anything above a story. And he's walking, down Oxford Street, and he comes to Marble Arch, and he comes to Hyde Park. He gets to his appointment, but he gets there hours late. He's been distracted continually by all sorts of things. Aye, the ikkar is the appointment, but the distractions are enormous. So the difference between a villager and a city dweller, says Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanson, is that when the city dweller has an appointment, he keeps the appointment and all distractions are ignored. And when the villager has the appointment, he keeps the appointment, and he gets there eventually, but it is after so many distractions, so many things which are dazzling to the eye, which are so new to him. Says the Divrei Shaul, Yechezkel is compared to a villager. Why? Because when you look in the Sefer Yeshaya, what does it say there? Bishnas Mos, Amelech Uziyo, Boeres Hashem, I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his throne. So Yeshaya is like the city dweller. He sees exactly what he has to see. Yechezkel, if you open the first book of Yechezkel, the first chapters, with chashmal, with wheels, and fire, and dazzling scenes, says the Divrei Shaul, you think Yeshaya never saw those scenes? Of course he did. Every Navi saw them. They surround the throne of glory. But he's a city dweller. He's not distracted by all this. He gets straight to the point. So Yechezkel is a person whose prophecy was filled with distractions. Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm only saying it as much as the Divrei Shaul is letting me say. To the extent that Yechezkel Enochinami sees what he sees binavua, but nevertheless allows himself to be quote unquote distracted by many things which surround the ikkar. Says the Divrei Shaul, that is why the Shivcha is compared to Yechezkel. Can you imagine what was going on at the banks of the Red Sea with the waves? We can't possibly imagine. We weren't there. So you would imagine that a Shivcha, the ordinary Shivcha, is so distracted by what's going on, she can't see. Its cinemascope is not big enough. She can't see enough of what's going on before, behind, at each side. But what does it say? Zekeli v'anve. She pointed directly to what was the crucial element. This is my God. And she saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the distractions in the world were not able to sidetrack her from what was crucial in the event, which was the fact that the Shekhinah was there. Roas or Shivcho al-Ayom, Mashallah, Roya Cheskin ben Buzi ben Buzi. To the contrast, says the Divrei Shaul, is between the individual person who is given the gift of prophecy and who is able to go directly to the core and the Iker Hadovar, and the Navi who goes and maybe gets there in the end but is sidetracked. Only got to add a PS of my own, which I've mentioned once or twice to the congregation on various occasions. The Divrei Shaul's comment on Nevuah is unfortunately something which we can relate to our own lives. There are so many of us, we set out from A to B. We know what the Iker is. We know what it is that we should be doing. But we allow ourselves to be dazzled and sidetracked. We allow ourselves to be seduced and sedated by so much that is going on. And even though eventually we hope that we do arrive at what is important, but we arrive much longer after and we have been completely dazzled and distracted. The Iker is, in the midst of everything that is going on, in the midst of the luxuries and in the midst of everything that is available of material goods, it's important that in the midst of all this, we are able to realize what our mission is, Zekeli V'Anveu, in order to extol HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do what it is that we have to do. And that's, as it is with the Shifchon Yecheskel, so it is with so many others. And the tragedy is we come to the end of the days and we see what it is that our lives have added up to. That's why the Togus Yaakov Yosef said once, Lo amut ki echyeh, not let me not die for I will live. Nobody lives forever. He says there's Magid Mimezerich. What David HaMelech was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo amut ki echyeh, let me not die while I am yet alive. There are many people who go through the motions, but it adds up to nothing. They are dead while they are alive. There is activity, but it's, as in the words of the philosopher, it is signifying nothing. That's the big challenge. And that to me is one of the great lessons that emerges from our Shabbos Shira. We'll leave it over for this evening.